All right. And because I can see you and you got the SU shirt on, Vlad, would you be so kind as to do the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yes, I apologize for not having a flag visible, but
that's going to be taken care of. Don't you worry about
all
that.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, please place your hand above your heart. Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Can we get a council roll call?
Sure, no problem. Vladimir Anderson.
Vladimir Anderson, present.
Eric Duane.
Present.
Alexis Federico.
Present.
Alexander Gonzalez. Alex Maslin.
Present.
Robert McDonald. Mario Munoz.
Present.
And Stephanie Wade.
Present.
We do have a quorum.
All right, fantastic. Thank you. We'll move on into item number 4, public comment. This time, members of the public can address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken off agenda items unless authorized by law. Comments shall be limited to 3 minutes unless the chair sets different times, which I haven't, and approved by council. So do we have any public speakers today?
We did not receive any via email. We do have some members attending. If you would like to speak during public comment, please raise your hand and I will unmute you. Once again, if you would like to speak during public comment, please raise your hand and I will be glad to unmute you. Seeing none, and just want to acknowledge that Bobby McDonald has joined the meeting. So I marked you present, Bobby.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bobby. All right, let's go ahead and move on to what you've all been waiting for, action item number 5. Number 5 is our nominating committee report. Alex Maslin, can you give us our nominating committee report, please?
I sure can. So just to remind everyone, per our bylaws, elections of officers shall be held at the council's regularly scheduled July meeting, and each officer must be elected by an affirmative vote of the majority of the council. So with that, the three positions, officer positions we will be discussing are the chairperson, the vice chairperson, and the secretary. And in a moment, I will say the names of who has reached out since our last meeting. But just keep in mind, following that, additional nominations from the floor will be accepted by the chair or acting chair of the OCVAC before the vote takes place. So the two nominations I did receive for chairperson were Eric Duane and Stephanie Wade. So if there are any other floor nominations, I believe this is the time those will be made to the chair. Seeing none, I believe, and Erica, correct me if I'm wrong, the next thing would be to take a vote.
So I would be glad to jump in, Erica, if you don't mind. We can take a vote one by one, or if you want to go through the slate for both the chair and vice chair, then we can do it that way. And also, I just want to mention the bylaws do not outline a secretary position. So we will not be taking a vote on that.
Okay, the copy I have does, but I will.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misspoke. They do include a secretary, but we do not do nominations for that position.
Okay.
No, already. Wait a minute, Jenna. It's Renee.
Sorry.
We do nominations. We've never had any nominations brought forward for that position, so it was not filled. So if we have nominations, that is a perfect opportunity for us to fill it this time around.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry about that.
Okay, no problem. And just to clarify, the only two nominations I received were for the chairperson position, and it was the two names that I listed, Eric Duane and Stephanie Wade. So based on that, I would suggest that we vote on that position first. That might change the direction and outcome of the vice chairperson potential vote.
Sure. So I'd be glad to go down the roll call. And if you can just state your vote for Eric Duane or Stephanie Wade. Vladimir Anderson.
Vlad Anderson, vote for Eric Duane.
And Eric Duane?
Yes.
No, she was talking to me. Sorry, Vlad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I vote for Eric Duane as well.
Alexis Federico?
I vote for Stephanie Wade.
Alex Maslin?
Eric Duane.
Bobby McDonald?
Stephanie Wade.
Mario Munoz?
Eric Duane.
And Stephanie Wade.
I'll vote for myself.
Here we go.
So we have 4-3. So Eric Duane passes.
Move on to nominations for chair now.
I believe
vice chair. So moving on to
vice. Oh, I mean vice chair. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
Can we nominate someone?
Yes.
Yes. No one was nominated prior to the meeting, so it would be open to the floor to make a nomination to the chair.
I would like to nominate Stephanie Wade.
I would like to second that.
Okay.
Vlad Anderson.
Go ahead and do a roll call vote for Stephanie Wade as the vice chair. Vladimir Anderson.
Vlad Anderson votes for Stephanie Wade.
Eric Duane.
Stephanie Wade.
Alexis Federico.
Stephanie Wade.
Alex Maslin.
Stephanie Wade.
Bobby McDonald.
Stephanie Wade.
Mario Munoz.
Stephanie Wade.
We heard it. And Stephanie Wade.
I'll vote for myself.
Stephanie Wade passes as a vice chair.
Would he get a description of the duties of the secretary?
I have those. I don't mind
please reading
them
you.
Off here. All righty. So, secretary, the duties of the secretary shall be provided by staff from the Veterans Service Office as a non-voting member. Terms for officer. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the entire description.
That's why Bobby was nodding. Yeah, that's why we've never elected anyone. Okay, that makes sense.
So unless there's any floor nominations for that position, I assume we can move on.
Okay.
There could be, but it would be in name only.
So I believe that would conclude the election process.
I have a question. Vlad Anderson has a question.
The floor is yours, Vlad.
Is anyone interested in being a secretary?
I would be happy to do it. Based on everyone's reaction, I'll be honest, I'm not quite sure of what the duties would actually be.
There are no duties. Because the description basically says that the VCS office takes care of those duties. So Jenna's already doing it.
Right.
So Jenna, yeah, go ahead, Renee.
Chair, if I might just add, it is one of the edits that is in the bylaw template that we plan to make to remove that secretary position.
Okay.
So it is in there today, but it is one of the edits that has been longstanding that needed to be cleaned up to remove that piece. So it is up to you to fill it at this point because those bylaws are currently in place. However, you are right. There are limited duties. Jenna really fills that role. There has never been a secretary in the 9.5 years that I've been here. And so it has evolved over time. And again, we probably won't long-term keep that in the bylaws. So it'll be removed from the bylaws very shortly.
Thank you for that.
And the only thing I would add before we close is just that, so everyone is aware, all officers are elected for a one-year term and shall serve until their successors are elected. It's the last item on there.
Copy. Thank you. All right. I believe we are concluded. So let's go ahead and move on to item six, information items. So we have June 29th, 2021, OCVAC special meeting report out. I'll take that one. Stephanie's got item B. And so on the 29th, we had a special meeting. Many folks were able to make it that we could vote on an item, something that is a hot button issue, and that's the cemetery, right? Going back and forth between Irvine and Gypsum Canyon, or the failure of the Irvine site and the move for the vast majority of veterans organizations in Orange County to push for the Gypsum Canyon. So we created a resolution, thanks to Stephanie Wade for drafting that resolution and making the amendment to it. And we voted on that resolution and it passed unanimously. So OCVAC officially supports the Gypsum Canyon cemetery site. And that is all I have to report. Stephanie, the floor is yours. Item B, Orange County Veterans Cemetery update.
Sorry, I'm muting myself. So along with Bobby McDonald, we sat through a very contentious Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday. Watched Nothing it. That was contentious about it had anything to do with us. But I will say that I think the supervisors appreciated us waiting as long as we did, just to kind of confirm for them that, you know, what we've been hearing is pretty universally, with the exception of a couple of individuals in Irvine and one VFW and one at Legion Post in Irvine, every other veteran we've ever heard from on this issue is really supportive of what the county is doing. And at the same time, that, you know, Irvine is free to continue to move ahead. And if, you know, if they really got it together and had a viable plan, terrific. And nobody's fighting that. We're just trying to really move forward as quickly as possible with the plan in Gypsum Canyon and Anaheim Hills. So, you know, the only other thing I would report is that Mario, Vlad, and Bobby McDonald, of course, who emceed the event, and as well as Alex Gonzalez, all attended event held on the 1st of July, put on by Supervisor Wagner at Gypsum Canyon site. If you haven't been out there, you know, look for an opportunity to go. It's really going to be a beautiful site. I think, you know, right now though, we may be looking at advocating for state money and county money for viability, but, you know, we're waiting on a report from county staff on next steps and the cost of doing a viability study. That was all I had.
Thank you, Vice Chair Wade. Let's go ahead and move on to our executive committee report. So I think that we've kind of wrapped that up in a nutshell as far as the information items. Additionally, we need to look back in the last year, because this is the election cycle. So we look back in the last year, what happened with OCVAC. Obviously, we went into our second year of COVID. We did very well and were able to accomplish quite a bit last year in spite of COVID. I know that Stephanie Wade spearheaded a lot of those efforts. So we had our LGBTQ support of service members. We've also got the cemetery support for Gypsum Canyon and a lot of other events that you all have attended, spoken at, and conducted over the last year. So I think it was a pretty eventful and fruitful year in spite of our pandemic. And that's all I had to report. Go on to item number 8, Erica Danzig.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick update on VSO activity. We continue to stay very busy. In fact, looking at our June numbers, we were probably the busiest we've been since I've been monitoring the stats, well over a year. We served over 2,700 veterans, filed 879 claims, and the benefits payouts from the VA totaled over $1.4 million just for the month of June alone. Those are unofficial, not validated just yet. We'll certify those and put them in the big voice that'll go out in the next week or so. But just so that you're aware, those are kind of the ballpark numbers and the volume of work that has been coming out of the VSO lately. Also wanted to give you a status update on our staffing. So I believe in past meetings, I mentioned that we were in a hybrid model where we were having half of our claims representatives work out of the office while the other team was working from home remotely. So as of this week, July 12th, all VSO staff, 100% of them are working out of the office. So we're definitely open for business, but we are appointment based primarily. You know, we will take those walk-ins for those urgent time sensitive matters. And of course the DMV certification, the VSD forms, we're continuing to serve regularly on a daily basis via walk-in and appointment. I will say that when we're reminding folks about their upcoming appointment, we're trying to provide them with a menu of options so they can come to our office, of course, and meet with a claims rep in person, but we're also providing them with the option to conduct their appointment either over the phone or via Zoom. So we just want to make sure that we're highlighting that client choice and preference. And so, you know, we'll track that and kind of see, you know, what the trends are. More people now that we're quote unquote open, are they choosing to come into the office or are they taking advantage of that telephone option or Zoom option? So hopefully we'll have some good data to make some good operational decisions moving forward. And then the last thing I just wanted to give you a quick update on. So we finished our recruitment for the supervising veterans claims representative position. That's the position that was vacated by Eric Ensley. So we, Elena and I, completed the selection interviews on Monday. We're hoping to make a selection and job offer this week. So we'll be able to make that announcement. We're trying to sync it up with the Big Voice release. So hopefully we can make that announcement when the rest of the world gets that issue. So yeah, I mean, things are moving in a positive direction. We're really happy with where things are right now. And I think that's all I have.
Thank you very much for that report. Go ahead and move on. Go ahead.
Can I ask a question, please?
Robert McDonald, you have the floor.
Well, thank you. If there's, Erica and Elena, of those candidates that you're going to interview to be the second in command for the Veterans Service, are they veterans? Or are you allowed to tell us that?
So we had a combination of internal and external candidates that made it to the selection interview round. They were a combination of veterans and non-veterans. It's not a requirement of that job classification, but we definitely did get a mixture in that pool.
Which is kind of not fair because you have somebody that's coming in, possibly has no veteran experience to help run, be the second in command for the veterans. That's just my commentary.
Well, I will say that even internal candidates would be those that would be working currently as a veterans claims rep. So they could have many, many years serving veterans, be accredited and helping with claims, but not be a veteran. But they have a rich number of years of experience working in the office.
Okay. Still not a veteran, but that's okay. I understand. There's got to be some way that we could talk to somebody. Up in, I'm assuming the decisions made on this is up in human resources. I mean, because that really, I mean, that's all right. Thank you. I said enough.
Stephanie Wade, you have a question?
No, I was going to ask the same thing that Bobby just asked. And you know, I would say that I think that's something I'm going to be communicating to the supervisor, Chafee. You know, I think there's some concern. I happen to have been in the office with a planned visit when Elena Kim was having a discussion with personnel about whether or not it was going to be, or, you know, she really wanted to strongly encourage that the people with veterans that are veterans to apply. And that was already a back position because she really understood that having a veteran in that position was really important. And I think most of us on the panel feel that there's no substitute for that experience. So I think that's something we need to sign it, communicate, I think, to our supervisors. I know I will, that, you know, the technical expertise of having done a lot of claims will never match up to having the cultural connection that you have if you're a veteran. And we you know, we think there's certain knowledge and cultural understanding that really comes from being a veteran. It, you know, making it a bona fide occupational qualification is pretty reasonable. I mean, you know, like, LGBT centers hire people who are LGBT, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, it's similar, you know, having some sort of cultural understanding. That said, I'm not saying it should be exclusively veterans, but I think in that role, it would have made a lot of sense. And so maybe we can look at that going forward, just try and increase the number of veterans working in the VSO.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate the feedback from both Bobby and Stephanie. And, you know, just because we are in the middle of a recruitment, there's only so much I can share. But what I will say is that this has been a very difficult position to fill. We're not only giving a veteran preference, but we're also looking for leadership skills, supervisory skills, that technical expertise. And we actually worked closely with our HR department to extend the recruitment twice beyond what the original deadline was, because we just wanted to make sure that we were casting as wide a net as possible, and really giving people the maximum amount of time to be able to submit an application. But it is a critical position. It's not something that we can leave vacant for an extended period of time. So we are anxious to fill it. And based on the five candidates that made it to the selection round interview, we feel like we have made the selection based on the most qualified person.
Thank you for that. Any further questions or discussion? All right, we'll go ahead and move on to item number 9, Ben Gales.
Thank you, sir. Good to see everyone. I thought I'd take just a little bit of time to highlight some things that are going on with work to help older adult veterans. You know, so the term that we're generally using for aging veterans, and there's a couple of really good things going on right now. One is there's a task force that's Erica's very involved in leading that's looking at not just veterans, but seniors in general and looking at post-COVID or better COVID situation reintegration. And so there's definitely a veteran component to that. And I'm participating in that task force. Jeff Pagano, who chairs our collaborative, is participating as well. And so I think it's a really important issue. And I think one of the kind of the early thoughts looking at that is there's a focus on developing a resource guide for senior veterans. And I think that there needs to be a strong concurrent focus on developing a system of navigators, you know, so it's not enough just to identify, you know, what the resources are, you know, that you have a VSO, that you have VA, you know, hospitals and clinics and whatnot, all the resources we know about. But most of the calls that I have with aging veterans who have services needs will benefit from someone that has really strong experience with broader navigation of a range of services. So I think that's certainly going to be a theme that I'm going to be looking at. And I think that's it's really a theme that applies to all the veterans that we help. But I think with the veterans that I've been speaking with a lot in the last year, very relevant for this population. Also, the general meeting of the Orange County Veterans and Military Families Collaborative on July 29th is going to focus on older adult veterans. So Erica will be presenting at that meeting, representing the Office on Aging. The Council on Aging will be there. They're doing a lot of important work to help veterans right now, aging veterans. And then also the VA and their caregiver support program. So that'll be a great meeting. Again, you know, if you're signed up with the collaborative, you should be getting the registration information for that. And that's in the morning on July 29th again. And then I guess finally, you know, CalVet, we don't talk about it maybe too much, but, you know, we have a system of state homes for aging veterans. And we're going to have 7 of these homes in California. Our closest homes here are Chula Vista, Los Angeles, Lancaster, and Ventura. These are exceptional places. I visited LA. I mean, they have truly state-of-the-art facilities there for rehab, physical therapy, beautiful reading rooms, beautiful dining facilities. So they're a great asset to the community. Always good to keep those homes in mind. And they were actually recently highlighted for their effectiveness in keeping COVID-19 cases low. and actually were considered to be something worthy of examination more broadly for how these types of facilities that are helping, the population with medical needs can work to keep COVID down. So we got a good thing there. It's always good to remember, that option for when you come in contact with veterans that may need it. That's it for me.
Thank you, Ben. Are there any questions for Ben?
I have a quick question on the veterans' homes. So we know in the office here, we help guide veterans through applying to be in a veterans' home. But I was wondering, do you have a good contact for following up on the status? Because there's a waiting list, obviously, to get into these homes. I've made a few calls, left a few voicemails, but still having some issues getting in touch. I'm not sure if there's a central, like a PIO. The guidance I've gotten is that you reach out to each individual veteran's home, depending on where the veteran applied to.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, first of all, you can forward me that and I'm happy to follow up with that home. I have always approached it by contacting the individual home. I think if that is really not working, there's opportunities to, raise that issue to a higher level. I've actually never had to do that. It's at least it's never come up for me. Doesn't mean that isn't needed possibly at times, but I think that generally starting with the individual home is the way to go. And I'm happy to support that. Elena, if you want to forward that email to me or forward that contact.
Absolutely. I will forward that to you. But as a follow-up, is there an option like a general disability claim where I can log into VA.gov and see the status of my claim? Is that an option for a status of where you are in the line for the veterans homes?
I'm pretty sure no. I think I would know about that if that were there. I'm pretty sure no. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Thank you.
It reminds me too, Kevin, I remember we had a case that we were navigating out of LA. This might be 2 years ago now, and it took some work. I think there were some real complications with that case, but that ended up working out well, right?
That worked out really well. And Elena, there wasn't a central system for us to check status. We had to communicate directly with the home to get updates and to support placement. These placements can be a bit tricky because we're looking at decisions based on medical necessity. So when we look at establishing medical necessity, they're looking at clinical documentation, medical documentation to support that need. Physicians have a tendency to underdocument or maybe misdocument a little bit the clinical presentation of their patients. And that happens for a lot of different reasons. It's the patients will misrepresent their abilities and their condition to their providers. Their providers misdocument because of what's communicated to them. The providers misdiagnose or misconditions and aren't identifying what's there. What I typically recommend in cases like this, if we're having trouble or we're hearing communication back about problems with medical necessity and meeting medical necessity, and you feel that the veteran meets medical necessity, come talk to me. I do have medical training. I can support our teams in communicating with physicians and obtaining medical documentation to support medical need so it can pass that utilization review. So just know that my team and I are here to help. We have in the past, as Ben was saying, gone to medical appointments with the veterans to ensure that we are effectively supporting communication between the veteran and their provider, and to track documentation on the forms that are submitted to CalVet for approval for the CalVet homes. It can be quite a process, but making sure that the documentation is sufficient on the front end saves quite a bit of time and a lot of headache. It went as smooth as it did for us, Ben, because I helped my team coordinate with the physicians and ensure that what was documented on these forms for submission to the CalVet home supported the need.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yep. Is there any further discussion? All right, we'll go ahead and move on to item number 10, Dr. Kevin Alexander.
Thank you, sir. Let's see, in terms of our behavioral health services, not too many changes over the past month. We are still very, very busy. We have been flirting with a wait list over the past month, but been able to get ahead and kind of keep on top of the referrals and make sure that the people that have needs are getting connected to the resources that they do need. We have two new hires for our peer navigation team. We have a new peer navigator, Daryl, who is fantastic. He is a disabled veteran here with a support animal, which is fantastic, really exciting. He's going to be a great fit for the team, really working on getting him trained. But so far, he's jumped right in and has been a wonderful asset for the veterans that we're serving. The other new hire we have is in our housing and employment position. So the peer navigator that specializes in housing and employment is Lori. Lori is a veteran family member, and she has a lot of experience working with veterans and families around housing and employment, and again, has just jumped right in and been a wonderful asset for the team. She is highly motivated and a lot of fun to work with so far. Outside of that, nothing really new to report. We're just wrapping up the fiscal year and trying to get all our documentation in order.
All right, well, thank you for that. Move on to item number 11, if there are no questions, standing committees. All right, we'll go to Communications Committee report. Alex Maslin.
I have nothing to report.
All right, we'll move on to item B, Events and Outreach Committee report. Vlad and or Mario. Do either of you have anything to report?
I would like to speak for a few minutes about the committee. I've been on the council for a number of months. I have discovered that there's some individuals, a number of individuals who have a connection with the community and have a certain expertise and level of experience and knowledge that I unfortunately failed to possess. I will like to remain on the committee and expand that knowledge base, but I'm willing to step down and offer anyone with that experience and the knowledge of the county and the adjacent community to step and fill my role. And I will still be the worker bee that needs to do the labor. I don't mind, but I mean, there's a number of individuals in the OCVAC board who have certainly an expertise, a knowledge base that I don't possess at this time. Commissioner Hahn, I had asked him to give me some guidance. But as we all know, he currently does not hold a position in OCVAC, and I was hoping that he would guide me through, and unfortunately, he can no longer do that. I want to do the very best for OCVAC, but again, based on my experience, current experience, I see a level of knowledge that I quite frankly don't possess at this time. I would like to possess it, but I'm willing to yield my position and be the worker bee for the outreach and events committee.
Stephanie, you have your hand up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering, I think Bobby McDonald does this already. You know, Bobby, you know, for instance, at the last three events I attended was the MC and is, you know, very close with Supervisor Wagner's office, but run, you know, very close to the VFW in Anaheim. And really Bobby's everywhere. He's very prominent within the collaborative. So I'm wondering if Bobby would be willing to take Vlad under his wing and train Vlad in the Bobby McDonald Journeyman program.
The Jedi Arts. Yeah, Bobby's got quite an extensive network. So, yeah, I mean.
I'll be glad to work with Vlad.
There's your guru.
Well, wait a minute. I don't want to be a guru. You know, I'm
master.
Maybe that's that Marine kind of talk. Guru and stuff.
Teacher. I mean, guru means teacher,
yeah.
Sir.
Yeah, I'm just Bobby Mack.
In Hindi.
I'm good at being
Bobby Mack. He's BMAC. IBMAC. Just like his email address. So
I beat a Mac.
So Vlad, you know, and I would also add to that, that everyone has to start somewhere. So, and you're not alone. You've also got an assistant, you know, you guys are the dynamic duo of Mario and Vlad. So, you know, if Mario's got ideas, he's also a resource, and Mario's been doing this for a little bit as well. So, but yeah, I mean, you couldn't get a better networking teacher than Bobby Mack. So, all right, go ahead and move on to item 12. Council
I'd like
comment.
To finish up and add my my comments to my set of.
Go right ahead.
So I highly recommend you know, everyone kind of outreaching their local or their districts of VFW, American Legion. Now that things are opening up, they're starting to have events, just like we're having elections. They're starting to have their elections as, you know, as new leadership comes in, they'll be having more and more events. Team Red, White, and Blue, they always do outings, hiking. They've been doing hikes.
RWB, yeah.
And they're attempting to do, I believe it's that the disabled veteran surfing that is done every single summer. I know it was canceled last year, you know, due to COVID, but I believe they're trying to bring that back. What else? One last thing. Oh yes, and the OC Fair is coming back. I emailed them. On their website, I think they said that it's reservation only. I don't think they'll be allowing veterans in for free this time around. But that could change now since, you know, things are kind of changing up. But yeah, you do need a ticket to reservations. Usually, normally, all you do is you just walk up. You don't even have to wait in line. You show them your military ID, and you can just walk in for free into the OC Fair. That's opening up soon.
All right. Thank you for that report, Mario. Anything further? All right. We'll move on to item 12, council comments. Stephanie Wade.
First of all, I want to thank everybody for the confidence in voting for me for vice chair, and say that I'm really happy to be, you know, working with Eric again. And, it, you know, though I ran for chair, the only thing that I was really interested in doing is making us more more visible and more connected to the community. And so I'd like to talk with Eric a little, maybe next week. I'm away today for a couple of days, but maybe you and I could connect about it. But I think I'd like to look at some things we could do. You know, there are 115,000 veterans in Orange County, and we hear from certain veterans, you know, a small segment.
Vocal minority, yeah.
Right, and a couple of the same groups. I think we could do a better job without, you know, killing ourselves. But I think there's, especially with things opening up, we need to maybe think about doing some hybrid things remotely and in person. Maybe think about some standards for how to cover some of these events without people feeling overwhelmed, but doing a better job of getting to some of those events. And so, yeah, let's put our heads together and do a little more to widen the base of people so that, you know, when we have these meetings, you know, we actually have a lot of veterans that tune in and want to talk to us and engage with us so that we know how to give the right advice.
Absolutely. Thank you. Alexis?
I just wanted to congratulate Eric Duane and Stephanie Wade on their elections. You guys are tremendous, and we are very thankful to have you represent us on this board as well. And I'm interested in working with you, and again, Stephanie, regarding your outreach, I'm interested in that as well. And so after your conversation with Eric, maybe we can come up with additional tasking for individual council members. So
great idea. Thank you. Vlad Anderson. Oh,
yes. Thank you, Eric. I was very fortunate to be able to attend or be invited to the Gypsum Canyon event that we just that was just held here in Orange County. And one question that arose is the fact that we don't have any name tags, any IDs, any business cards, and certainly don't have an email account or a way of communicating with staff or anyone in the county. And I belong to a number of commissions, both in my city and in the nonprofit world, and we have created name tags.
Right. Well, Vlad, let me just jump in there quick. So yes, I think that is as a process of COVID, but it is standard that we get name tags and business cards. That's not something that hasn't been done. It's been done. I just think that there may have been a lapse there during COVID. I have a name tag. Bobby's got a name tag. We have business cards. That is part and parcel of this. So thank you for bringing that again to our attention, because that's something that's kind of gone by the wayside. But our county folks, please duly note and let's get some name tags and business cards.
Yes. And another thing, I don't know how to raise it. The fact that there are a lot of services for veterans in the county. However, it seems to be fragmented and not centralized. And certainly, if we can discuss that or create an ad hoc committee to address that issue, I think it's a good way.
So Vlad, are you familiar with the Orange County Military Family Collaborative?
I am familiar with it. Yes.
Okay. However, so they're an effort to defragment your hard drive, if that makes sense. I don't think we need another committee, but we could talk about that in the future. I think there's already a very substantial and robust committee.
If I may finish, I think we need to have the discussion.
Okay.
Or where we should be going, or what we should be supporting.
Yeah.
I work with young children, at-risk young children, and having a centralized place for them to bring their families and address both the mental health and the socioeconomic or whatever issue they might be facing, it is a good way to go. And certainly I would like to have that discussion if at all possible.
Thank you for that. Kevin, do you have your hand up? Bobby, you're next. Yeah.
Okay, good enough. I too want to offer my congratulations to Eric and Stephanie. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I do need to bring this up because this is the second time this could happen. We're missing a gentleman. We're missing Alex Gonzalez on this call for the vote. It could have gone 5-3 or it could have gone 4-4. We need to put into our bylaws somewhere if there is a tie, because sometimes the supervisors, like today and last time, didn't have enough people to make it 9. We need to put something in our bylaws where we have a coin flip, short straws, whatever the case may be, taking a message, other than going to or arm wrestle, don't care, other than sending Renee or Erica over to the county council to make that decision for us. Okay, so I'm just saying that's something the executive committee needs to bring up. I know Renee already mentioned that there's going to be some changes in the bylaws. I can guarantee you that ain't it. Okay, so I'm just saying that this could have happened again. Okay, and I'm not saying it would, but it could. All right, number two, I had an opportunity. Like Stephanie said, and I really appreciate Stephanie being there. She didn't have to stay to 10:15 to 3:15. She cheated. She got there at time to go to lunch. Thank you, Steph. I appreciate that. But we were at the board of supervisors, and we were kind of a calming voice to talk about veterans in amongst all those other individuals that were rude and crude. But anyway, be that as it may, we did get a chance to talk about veterans, and we thanked the board for giving us Gibson Canyon and encouraged them to keep moving forward and keep pushing forward.
Yeah, I saw that. Very, very well done.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And I just came off being on a program with the VA. The VA, this new secretary, Dennis McDonough, put together all the members of the parties of the veteran had to come up with 120-day, which will be the end of the month, a package to them on diversity, inclusion, equity, access for all veterans. And that had to be done. And I was part of that crew that helped come up with information for that from a nationwide standpoint. As soon as the report comes out, I'll make sure that we have it and we have a copy of it. But I think that's pretty impressive that the new VA secretary comes in and said, okay, all hands on deck. We want to know about DEI access for all veterans, men, women, the whole nine yards. I also had an opportunity last Friday. I received a phone call from the Secretary of Labor's office 8 weeks ago, and they asked me to put together a program on veterans and diverse community individual or employment. So in other words, okay, here you go. Veterans and Diverse Employment Roundtable. There you go. So we had it at UCI last Friday with the Secretary of Labor, Martin Walsh. And we had different topics, and the topics were veterans and employers lens through the community lens, care economy, where we talked about veterans and military families and children, and the care and mental health and senior veterans. Then we talked about veterans employment through COVID and issues coming back to work for veterans. And then of course, veterans workforce investment and job training. So all those were covered in less than about an hour and a half with the secretary. Some of our veterans with Doug Willing was there. We had Chase Wickersham, needless to say. And then we had a couple of key executives from Southern California Edison, the new dean of business from UC Irvine, and Douglas Haynes, who's with the DEI part for UC Irvine. We got a chance to have that meeting in the chancellor's conference room up on the fifth floor. So it was pretty cool. So anyway, I just want to say, other than that, I know that we will be keep moving forward with the information on the cemetery. And other than that, nothing's happened.
Thank you for that, Bobby. All right. Alex Maslin.
Yes.
Council comments? I don't. Do you have any comments?
No.
All right.
I do not.
Mario Munoz.
All right. Part of the reason why I got on this board was because I'm not sure if I'm the youngest still, but when I joined the board, I was in my 20s. And, you know, I brought that kind of millennial veteran knowledge or know-how. One of my biggest things was educational benefits. I think we need to identify what our specialties are, what our kind of outreach groups are, kind of like what Vlad was talking about. So I'd love to collaborate. And I already messaged Vlad about that. I gave him my number, and, you know, let's start collaborating and seeing what we can do with that. Also, I just got the flyer right now for the events committee. If I go back to that or not go back to that, but just add that to my comment. Surf's Up Eagle Expedition, August 21st, 22nd. Enjoy the final weeks of summer in Southern California. Pristine sandy beaches, learning to surf along Team Red, White, and Blue. And there's a link. And if anybody's interested, I can send the registration.
That's awesome. Yeah. Stephanie's definitely interested.
August 21st and 22nd, which I can bring up at our next meeting as well.
Can you send that to me by email, Mario?
Yes, I can. And then also, I just scanned and copied the 5-year plan that I said I was going to email out last time, but it's finally scanned, it's copied, and I will be sending that out as well.
Thank you so much, Mario.
No problem.
All right, I think I got everyone. And I've already made comments under executive. If there's no further comments from anyone, we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting. Thank you all for serving. It's an honor to serve you and serve with you. Have a wonderful day.